morning, I encourage you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's where we'll begin our lesson this morning. We'll have a verse prior to that, but that's where we'll begin. There's a video in the foyer that's entitled, asking the question, why are there so many churches? And the truth is that there's no such thing, really, as a plurality of churches. But you go down the street, and you don't have to go very far in any direction, you're going to see another church building. You're going to see where people are gathering to worship God, worship someone or something, we might say. I'm going to begin a series of lessons on the church and the organization of the church. It's going to take us quite a while, but all of these lessons will stand independently of one another. You can see that in this title, Don't Turn Away from the Only Gospel, is going to be our focus. Now, this goes right into the face of a lot of the religious world. We'll be looking at this later on. But nevertheless, just to kind of throw it out there for you to consider, that a lot of people will view the church or churches as a tree with many branches. And so therefore, there's this denomination and that denomination and this denomination and that denomination. But as long as you believe in Jesus, then, you know, we're all still one. We're all still serving the same God. Well, I hope that by the end of this lesson, you'll see that that's a false teaching. There's a fallacy, and that is not the reality. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. And of course, that would go to John chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were created through Him that were created. And then we jump over to verse 14, and we read there that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld its glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Of course, that God is to us Jesus Christ. So God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, found innocent, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. But let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to, first of all, look at verses 3 and 4, and then we'll jump up to verses 1 and 2. I'm going to put it in reverse order. So the gospel is mentioned in verse 1, but I want to read the gospel to you. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Brother, that's the gospel. And if we're going to preach Jesus Christ, that's what we preach, is Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected. But let's go back up in verse 1 beginning. This is very important. This is the gospel preached and received. So in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand. So we see, out of the gate, Paul preached the gospel, they received it, and that's where they stand. And if they stand, we'll address here in just a moment, the next phrase is, by which also you were saved. And of course, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So here Paul is expressing, I preached the gospel, you received it, you stand in it, and that's how you are saved. But then he goes and adds a little bit to that. Notice the ending of verse 2. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 2. If, there's the condition, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. They believed, if they believed in vain, it means that it wasn't to the saving of their souls. We're going to see here in just a moment when we go over to Galatians chapter 1 what was transpiring. But we need to really wrap our minds around and understand that what was required of them in order to be saved was to hold on to that gospel that they had received that Paul had preached. It's that simple. And if they didn't, it was in vain. It was worthless. It was empty. Now, there are many other passages to turn to, and I like going over to Hebrews where it just hits over and over and over. There's warnings that are stated there, depending on how you divide those five to seven warnings that just annihilates once saved, always saved doctrine, that false doctrine. But we also see it here. We see that there's a condition if. So verse 1 again, just to reiterate, as Paul often does, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand. So it's not just that you receive it and you can just do whatever you want with it. You got to stand in it, by which also you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you unless you believed in vain. If you don't continue down that path in which you once stood, then you believed in vain. Those two verses right there, if that's all we had, it dispels once saved, always saved. But let's move on from here and notice over in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul marvels. You're familiar with these passages, and so we're going to make a few notes here as we go through this context. But in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him, that is God the Father, who calls you in the grace of Christ, that is His Son who died for us, to a different gospel. Verse 7, which is not another. Why? Because there's only one gospel. Period. One gospel. We're going to expand on that here in just a moment, but let's understand there's only one gospel. Paul preached that gospel in Corinth. They received it. They stood fast in it. And if they stayed standing in the gospel, they would be saved. Writing to those in Galatia, which is a region, he says, I marvel that you're so soon turned away from the gospel. It says, turned away so soon from Him, God the Father, who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. He says in verse 7, which is not another. Because there's only one. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. We have to be careful that we are not deceived. Now, I just put the verses up there so you can kind of be ahead of me, you might say, in turning to these passages. But over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, we read there, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, another Savior, another way of being saved, whom we have not preached. Remember, Paul says, I preached it. You received it, you stand in it, by that you are saved. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 4, for if he who comes preaches some other individual comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received initially, obviously, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. In other words, you may tolerate it. You may accept it. You may say, oh, okay, this is another way to be saved. Paul's saying, no, there's only one. There's only one. So we would see in this context that there is only one true preaching. There's only one spirit. There's only one gospel. Only one. That is the simplicity of the gospel. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There's no other name given among men by which we must be saved. No other authority. No other name that we're going to be saved by. There's only one Savior. There's only one Jesus, in other words. Hopefully you see that we're emphasizing one particular one word. One. So Jesus says in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father except by me. There is no other Savior. There is no other Jesus. So going back to our context in Galatians chapter 1, let's continue. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, I say continue. We're going to reiterate again. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. There's no other gospel. But there are some who trouble you who want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see this word one used over and over. Of course, he's already said in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We see in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 4, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we see encompassed here is that there is one body and one faith. We've already established that there's only one gospel. There's only one Savior. There's only one Jesus, which means Savior, by the way. Same as Joshua. Flip maybe a page or two back to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's make a connection here. So we've already seen, we've just got through reading in verse 4 that there's one body and one faith. We already know there's only one gospel, one Savior. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, and he put, this is God the Father, put all things under his feet, under Jesus' feet, and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church. What is this church? Well, we see in verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. How many bodies are there? Well, we just got through reading over in Ephesians chapter 4 that there's only one body. Under most circumstances, there's one head and one body. I know there are exceptions to that rule. But there's one head. There's one body. I'm going to throw this out, and so maybe you'll remember, but we'll get into it a little bit deeper. You see, the denominational world is going to say, this is the Methodist Church, 1 Corinthians 12, the eye is not the hearing. If all the body were the hearing, where would be the smelling? You know that context. So this is the Methodist church, this is the Baptist church, this is the Presbyterian church, and this leg is, you see, but we're all one body because we all believe in Jesus. I don't know about you, but I hope my arm stays attached to this body and it does what the head says to do. And how could the head tell this arm to do one thing and this arm to do another? Well, that's not a very good way to put it. Let me talk about legs. This leg to go that way and this leg to go that way. So when you have one head and one body, they work in unity to one another. That's Ephesians 4. And verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We'll look at that context. The context is that we work together as one unit. But how could this arm teach one thing and this arm teach another? This doctrine and they oppose one another. So we'll look at that in more depth. But once we understand that there are a lot of denominations out there, but in the word itself, just the single word denomination, we already find error. Why? Because denomination means division. Division. Let me give you an example. In our currency, we have denominations. And if one denomination is good as another denomination, because it's all the same money, then please, I'm begging you, I will give you all of my $10,000 bills for all of your $10,100 bills. Who's going to sign up for that? We know it's different. Have you ever gone to buy something and they say, okay, it's going to be $6.37, and you think you pull out a 10, you pull out a 5, and you're standing there. Anyone felt that awkwardness? And they're still waiting on you're waiting on them. Like, why are you standing there staring at me? I gave you your money. They're waiting for something more than just $5 because the item costs $6.37. You haven't given them enough money. We all understand the denominations in our currency. Why can't people see that there's the same division in all these churches, in these denominations? It's foreign to the Scriptures. There's one body, one faith, one church. You know Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Who do men say that I am? Some say this, some say that. Peter says, what? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus responds, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Why are there so many denominations, so many churches? Man. But if it comes from God, guess how many you have? One. That's it. One. You see, Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jesus, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, singular, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. There's only one church. Someone to want to pervert that gospel. We read that in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, we're not going to read this whole context, but as you will see up in verse 2, there is a question posed by the scribes and Pharisees that are listed in verse 1. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread? Well, Jesus has a question for them. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? why are there so many churches? It's because of man. Man's tradition. Man's desire to serve himself instead of looking at God's Word and being directed by Him, if you will. It was happening in the first century and it's still happening today. In other words, we take man and we listen to him and we follow his doctrine and we make his doctrine, quote unquote, the gospel. We make man's doctrine and put a deity upon it. So Jesus is very pointed and he's going to use one of the commands against them, what they're violating, what they're not keeping, that is from God. So in verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he who comes or curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me, has been dedicated to the temple. What they would do in the first century and long before is that they would say, for example, okay, I've got this $1,000. Sorry, Mom and Dad, I can't help you out. I've dedicated it to the temple. I'm going to give it to the temple one day. Now, they really probably had no intentions, or if they had intentions, it just never did come to fruition. They just say it so they can get out of taking care of their parents. And man was okay with that. That's exactly what Jesus is condemning them for. So, he goes on. He's saying, because that's what you're doing, you're saying that you're allowing these individuals to say, nope, I've dedicated this money to the temple, so I can't help you out, Mom and Dad, is released from honoring his father or mother. By the way, that's how you honor your father or mother, is you take care of them in their old age, just like they took care of you in your infancy. Right? We understand that, how that flips one day. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. He's just thrown it right out the window because of tradition. He says, hypocrites, you're acting. You're not keeping the commandments. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, why are there so many churches? Well, these people draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Remember 1 Corinthians 15? Can we read something a little bit like that? It says in verse 2, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. There's only one gospel. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. There's only one body, I really meant to say. There's only one God. One Jesus. One Savior. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. Remember his concern writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 3 and 4? Might as well go ahead and I'll turn back to that very quickly just so that we hit that key phrase. He says, or if you receive a different gospel which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Why is he saying that? Because they could be guilty of what Eve did in verse 3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And here, Paul is telling Timothy, you've got to make sure that you preach what will keep people steadfast in that saved condition, if you will. That you only preach that gospel. That one gospel. Because there's going to be deceiving spirits.
that they're going to give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Do you know any religions that forbid people to marry? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. I always wondered, why in the world do we get a choice on Friday? When I was in elementary school, why do you have a choice on Friday? You don't get a choice on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but on Friday you can choose between fish or whatever else it was. Because there is a religion that says, no, you can't eat meat on Friday. I thought that, you know, fish was meat, but anyways, I guess I was wrong. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Why do we pray before we eat? Well, there's a good reason right there, but you see what Paul's writing to Timothy? There's going to come a time. Got to preach against it. There's going to be deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. Brother, we need to understand that's what every denomination is. As harsh and as cruel as that may sound. If it's of man, it is not of God. And it is corrupt and wicked and evil. Galatians chapter 2. That's when our compassion kicks in and we try to save them from such false teaching doctrine. Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Here's the issue. But this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, not to be bound by the old law, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission, even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. See, there were Jews, even Jewish Christians, who were commanding that Gentiles be circumcised. And they did not need to be circumcised. So what they were doing was they were becoming false brethren by insisting that something be done that God did not command. It may seem to be a little thing. What's the big deal? Have the boy circumcised on the eighth day. But if you're going to keep one part of that old law, you have to keep the whole. And if you could have salvation by the old law, which is Paul's argument in Romans, we didn't need a Savior. You see how one thing leads to another. And before you know it, we're off on the deep end. There is no other revelation. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Remember what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read that very quickly again. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. Galatians 1 and verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. If we can't understand that there's only one gospel, we've completely missed the boat. How many religions are still supposedly receiving revelation? Paul's saying, if we, I believe he's talking about the apostles himself, but that is right, is thrown right out the window in verse 9. Not that he's not including the apostles, but notice in verse 9, he reiterates himself. We don't even have to repeat him in verse 8. We just read verse 9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone, that's not just the apostles, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And we'll emphasize that this denomination teaches this and this denomination teaches that. And they're contrary to one another. So how could there be unity? How could they be preaching the same thing if they differ? It's impossible. Jude 3 says that it was once for all delivered to the saints. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. That word sound there means healthy. Because everything else is dead. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3 beginning. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome, that's a little bit closer to that idea of healthy, right? Wholesome words. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words from which it come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicion, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds. There's that word, strong verbiage, men of corrupt minds who aren't holding to wholesome words, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, who oppose that godliness is a means of gain from such withdraw yourselves. Titus chapter 1. And verse 9, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, there's that term again, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So if you're not holding to sound words, you are contradicting the gospel, contradicting, going against Jesus Christ. This is part of the qualification to be an overseer, which we'll talk about down the road. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. We read there, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. We've got to hold fast to it. We've got to stand firm. Standing firm in what we received. From where did the Corinthians receive it? They received it from Paul. We have that teaching. We've got to hold fast to it. So going back to Galatians chapter 1. As we close the lesson in Galatians chapter 1. We're just going to continue. We've already began at verse 6. Now we're picking up in verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a servant of Christ. You see how you can't have both? You can't please men and please God or Jesus Christ? If I'm going to serve Jesus Christ, I can't be concerned about making these men happy and what doctrine or what teaching or whatever they want to hear if they have itching ears, right? Paul writes to Timothy. Verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, I received it and I preached it. You heard the gospel, you received it, you need to stand in it, and by it you will be saved. How many gospels are there? One. How many saviors are there? One. How many heads are there? One. How many bodies are there? One. How many faiths are there? One. And that's what brings us together. That's what unifies us. Not denominations. Not divisions. Divisions do not bring us together. But Jesus Christ. Don't turn away from the only gospel. Jesus is our only hope. There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12. May we cling to Him, understand His commandments, His will for us, and never waver. If you are not a child of God, we will look in more detail in regard to how to become a part of the body of Christ. How to be a part of the saved. Along the way, we will dispel this idea of you think or y'all think you're the only ones going to heaven. My response to that is, well, don't you want to be around people who believe they're going to heaven? I don't understand. Isn't that who you'd want to be with? I hope we don't have to waver in that. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. We need to be convicted. And you might say that sense of confidence in the Lord, not in ourselves. But Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when these individuals are condemned that they have crucified the Son of God, said, after they're cut to the heart, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received the word were baptized in that day. About 3,000 souls were added to them. And we would see that in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You have to be in the body. You have to be in the church. We'll emphasize that even further in a couple of lessons from now. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Get yourself right before the Lord by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If we can help you, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Daryl for another fine lesson. You know, we all can learn from the lesson that he gave this morning and understand what's important and where who we're supposed to worship. Is there any